We'll start there this evening. Actually, we're going to probably stay there for the most part. Now, after the service here, we go back over to the Fellowship Hall. We're going to have a little birthday party for Lauren, the pastor's daughter. Of course, she doesn't know about that. And if they're late bringing the kids back, we get cupcakes and ice cream. You like that? Man, just need to hurry up and get done, right? I saw the look on some of your faces. Anyway, okay. My title of the message tonight is How to Get More. How to Get More. That's really what we all want, right? More. You know, the kids learn that word. You know, you give them something more, give them some more, and they learn that all the time. Some of the first words that they learn. You know, here this advertisement on TV. Of course, they got all kinds of ads, and most of them run something like this, that this will not only give you more days of your life, but it'll give you more life in your days. You know, and you need this because it'll give you more energy and all this other stuff. You know, so we hear that word, and it sounds good, you know, having more. But since tonight's, I was thinking about this, I said, you know, on Wednesday nights, it's really a Bible study and a prayer time. Take prayer requests, and we can take home, pray about it throughout the week, and have some time in prayer here. And I thought it would be an appropriate topic this evening, and maybe one, you know, a topic of finishing up. I shouldn't call it a series, but the last 6, 7, 8 weeks that I've been preaching on Wednesday nights, you know, there has been somewhat of a theme through that of faith and trust and, you know, having courage and strength to go and do what God would have you to do, and faith and trust in God, and, you know, and having the right attitude and being content. And I thought maybe adding, kind of pulling that all together and just having a little session on prayer that's kind of related to prayer, and use that as what we look at, and then really look at how do we get more than what we've asked for. And there's probably a lot of places in the Bible I can go to and probably spend a couple hours discussing just that piece right there, how to get more than what we asked for. But I thought maybe the most obvious one, and probably the one that's the clearest, is in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, talking about Solomon. Of course, Solomon became the king here, you know, after David. And I'm going to start in actually verse 5 and read down through verse 14. Now I'll make my prayer and we'll go through I got 4 points tonight. We'll go through those and we'll go have some birthday cake and ice cream. So starting in verse 5, it says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servants David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, why so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked for the life of thy enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any rise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." Let's pray. Father, thank you now for this portion of Scripture. Father, help us to look at it and see how we can learn from this that we can make application within our own lives. And Father, how we can create that relationship with you, through prayer. Father, thank you for your word this evening. Give me the power to speak this evening. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit upon my life and my words. And help me through this message. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have really just 4 points. I know my points can get long, but it's just 4 points. So we'll see if we can get out of here in 30 minutes or less. But the first point, there are 4 points, 4 keys, what do you want to do? I call them keys. We must admit a need. Verse 7 says, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." Before Solomon really said anything, the prayer of his lips, he confessed a great need in his life when he saw the job that was before him and the responsibilities. He said, "Here I am, king. I know nothing. I know nothing not only how to lead my people, I don't know how to judge them. Help me, Lord." And when I look at this, I said, he had humility there. And that's one of the things. This was humility of what he did. He went before, "I don't know how to do this, Lord." Problem that we have today is so many times we're so satisfied with ourselves. And maybe people, their egos are so big, and we think we can handle everything ourselves and do everything ourselves. We don't need God. That's just what we do. We kind of forget about those things. But when we, when we honestly and humbly come before God and admit a need, I believe God's pleased. He's pleased. He says, "You recognize something you need in your life." He says, "I think the fact is that the thing most often keeps us from experiencing God's greatest blessings is that we don't have a need or a feeling of a need for them." One thing before we get saved, we have to do one thing. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we can confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We had to admit we were sinners, right? And that's what God's looking for. He's, you're saved. He's put you in place. You have some things before you. He's expecting you and looking for you to come before him. So, "Lord, I need help with this. I need your direction. I need your strength. I need this from you, Lord." And that's what we're talking about here. God will give power to those who admit a need for it. God will give power for that. If we think in our own strength, God may just allow us to continue on in our life, trying to do everything in our own strength. I think that's the way a lot of people are. They just keep going through life, and God's just sitting there waiting for them to recognize, "Hey, I guess I do need God to help me through some of this stuff." Otherwise, he just lets us go and do it. Think of Samson. He had strength to do whatever he wanted to do. But we came to a point in Judges 16:20, it says, and she said, the last point there, or the last item there with Samson, it says, "The Philistines be upon thee." Samson, he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him, because she had cut his hair, right? She cut his hair. The Lord was gone. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Judges 16:20 and 21. So we see Samson had all the strength he needed, but then a day came that when he didn't have that, they took out his eyes, they made him grind in the mill. They kind of treat him like, I guess you'd say, he was in a circus. That's what they did with him for a while. And then he came to himself. He realized he needed God. He admitted to God his weakness and said, "Lord, just once remember me. Give me your strength." Of course, that's when he pulled down the pillars. And the whole house came down. And if I remember right, it was about 3,000 of those Philistines were killed in there. But he admitted to a weakness that he had. He realized what had happened and asked God, said, "I got a need. Help me with my weakness." Then we have the ability to pray successfully for sick to be healed is conditioned upon our admission of faults to others. Again, we're admitting some of our faults. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one to another that they may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Bible says that to be able to successfully pray for one another for physical healing, there's a condition there that we're willing to confess our faults one to another. I believe what James is teaching here is that not just in healing, that we have to confess in our sense our faults and the problems that we have and the weaknesses that we have out there before God, lay them out there and say, look, I need help. I need help. The fullness of the Holy Spirit comes to those who admit a need for it. So it does. Can't be filled with the Holy Spirit unless you're empty of yourself. So many times we're all full of ourselves. We see that today. It's what? The selfie generation today. It's all me, 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 me. And it's creating issues all over the place. You know, I'm the one that's important. You're not. What I think is the only way to think. Yeah, I had a brother somewhat like that, but he passed away a number of years ago. But what we're talking about is a me generation, a selfish generation that we have and has come apart. And I think a lot of it has to do with some of the cell phones we have and social media that we have. And, you know, people say, well, you know, I'm important. Look what I had for breakfast. You know, I'm important. And look what I'm going to wear. You know, or look what my new dress, all this stuff. A few years ago, we would have never known that. Now we know everything about everyone, just about. Because they think of themselves on this. But in John 7:37, if a man trust or if a man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. In Matthew 5:6, it says, again, he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You're empty of self. God can fill you with the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about here. So the first thing about Solomon's prayer was that he got God's attention because he admitted a need in his life. So when we look at this, the first key is to admit a need. Second key is we'll find in verse 9 through 10 is that we must pray for the right thing. We must pray for the right thing. 9 through 10 says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing. Yeah, I think there are certain prayers that God's just pleased to answer. I think he's delighted when we pray for those things he already wants to give us. In the New Testament, we're given this promise in 1 John 5:14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. See the key words in there? According to his will. The prayer that God promises to answer is a prayer that's according to his will. You know, we got the same teaching in the model prayer that we find in the Gospels. The Lord teaches us to pray to the Father and say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord's Prayer that some people call the Lord's Prayer. It's right there too. So we come back to a point that I think every message that I've done on Wednesday night, we come back to this same point. How do you know God's will? We understand what God wants and his will for our life by a study of his book. That's how we find it. It's right here. It's a study of his book to get on, to understand what God wants us to do. Now, some of this we already know. Matthew 28 says, go ye therefore in all the world. And what? Teach, baptize, and teach others to do the same thing. You know, Mark talks about to every creature. When you go to Acts 1 and 8, talks about to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and we've already been commanded to go. You know, all the way over to the end of the book of Romans, we got getting the scriptures out to the world. These are things that we're already commanded. We ought to be, you know, I'm just giving an illustration here that these are things that we ought to be praying for in our lives, saying, God, how can we? I don't know how to do it. I don't know if I got the strength to do it. I don't know if I got the finance to do it. But how do I get the gospel of the lost and dying world here and all the way across that ocean, all the way across over into Papua New Guinea or some other place in this country? How do I do that? So I believe he'll answer that because that's within his will. That's what he's talking about here.
What's God's will? What is he expecting you to do? God talks much about being holy. Be ye holy. Well, how do we do that? We're weak. We got this old nature in us that's going to fight against everything that we try to do to be holy before God. We, you know, come before God and say, I can't do this without you, God. I can't be holy. I need your help to be able to overcome Satan in these areas of our life. That's what we're talking about, the illustration here. It comes back to knowing this word, to understand how to pray in God's will. We should ask for those things that he's willing to give to us because it's within his will. What did Solomon ask for? He asked for an understanding heart, for wisdom to lead his people. We pray a prayer like this that God is pleased. He promises to answer prayers like this. James 1:5, it says, and any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. I think one of the things that we probably all need is more wisdom, more understanding. How to have to be out in the world and working among lost people. We need the wisdom and understanding and grace and everything else to be able to have the right, like we, you know, the right attitude and everything else, like we talked about in Philippians. Or basically, it's repeated again in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, the last part of chapter 5 that we was at the first part of chapter 5 a couple weeks ago. The last part of chapter 5, same thing. Talks about our attitude. These are things that we need. We talk about raising our family, raising our kids. I don't think any of us are perfect. Some people think they're perfect parents, but those of us that know the Word of God know that we're not. And understand, you know, we need help in raising our kids, raising our grandkids, setting the example. You know, those kids watch you. And if any of you have raised some kids and got some grandkids ready to drive cars and everything else, you know that they mimic you. You know, they're watching you all the time. They're going to do what you do. You know, they'll gain that attitude over a period of time. They'll gain that ability to do that. So again, we just need help. We need to recognize this in our lives, and God wants us to be able to raise good kids, raise righteous kids, kids that are going to follow him and be in obedience to his word. And we need help of us to be able to be that, to set the example for them, and then examples to our neighbors and examples to everyone else. The Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for that which would bring glory to God. That's what we're really looking at. Rather than some selfish request that he could consume on his own lust. We ought to be praying for things that bring glory to God in our lives and in other people's lives. That's what we ought to be praying for. James also warns us in James 4:3, says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. I think a lot of times because we don't understand the Word of God, we miss what we ought to be praying for, and we're out there praying for a lot of things that isn't even appropriate for what God would have us pray for. We need to listen carefully to that simple instruction. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Are we asking amiss in our prayer life? Are we getting our prayers answered? When we pray for things that are his will to answer, he's going to answer it. Or for things that bring glory to him. That's what we ought to be looking for. Note that what God said to Solomon in verses 11 and 13. It says, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding and discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. I think if we're in the right position, and we're coming before God, and we're asking for the right things, I think we're not only have those prayers answered, but God's going to take care of a bunch of other things that we're not asking for. And really, when you look at this, you're really putting God first, and you're putting others first, really, is what you're doing. I need to lead those people, but God, I need help to lead those people. That's what Solomon was saying. I need help to be able to judge those people. Help me with that. Solomon was concerned about how he was going to lead and judge that large group of people that was before him. That was his responsibility now as king. I think God must get tired of hearing selfish prayers, you know, like, gimme, 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 gimme this, gimme that, gimme more. You know. Is that true? That's the way a lot of people pray. They're not, they don't get down on their knees and thank God for anything. They're just, God, I need this, I want this, and it'd be nice to have this, and, you know, it's all just me on it. And then when someone comes along and prays an unselfish prayer and asks for something that would bring glory to God, I believe that just pleases God to be able to answer that. I'm going to give him what he asked. God's basically saying, I'm going to give him what I ask, and I'm also going to give him more than what he asked for. I'm going to take care of it and other things in his life. You know, Ezra 7:10 states that, for Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. There was a heart preparation with Ezra. If you read Ezra, you see that Ezra had a communication with God and he knew what God wanted him to do, but there was still a heart preparation. Whatever God told him he was going to do or had to do, was commanded to do, he was not only going to do it, but he was going to teach others to do the same thing. And that's setting the example. Paul talked about that. Look at me as an example in the New Testament. This sets an example. And our attitude should be, you know, not only, you know, admitting that we have a need, but also praying for the right thing. Third one, we must use what's given us. Verse 14. If thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my statutes, my commandments, as my father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. You know, if we read down, I'm not going to read the whole thing for time. You already know the story in verses 16 through 27. Solomon was, I mean, it starts right there in verse 16. Almost the next day, Solomon was given an opportunity to use his wisdom that God had given him. Remember the two women that came before him? You know, they basically gave birth at the same time. And one of the babies died. So they come in there to Solomon. And saying, well, each one said, that's my baby. The live one is, that's my baby. They both wanted the baby. And Solomon looks at them and says, well, give me the baby. Give me a sword. I'm going to divide it in half, give you each half of the baby. Of course, the mother that the baby had died didn't care. Oh, you'll kill her. But the mother whose baby it was said what? No, let her have the child. And 1 Kings 3:28 states, and all Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. So almost immediately, God gave him an opportunity to use what he had been given. I believe that we're all given spiritual gifts. We all have abilities that God's given us, and he's expecting us to use it. And it's not so people can say, oh, this person has power, or this person is holy, or this person has reached some level of spiritual development. That's not what he's given that for. It's given to you for the glory of God. Given to you so you can reach out to the lost and dying world. It's given to you so you can help train, if you're an educator or something like that, you can help train other people to reach out. It's given to you to have the right example that you can set for other people to see. It's given to you for testimonies so others can see your life. And those are some of the things that we ought to be. Our prayers are answered. We're given spiritual gifts in order that we might use these spiritual gifts for the glory of God. If we don't use what we're given, I believe God takes them away from us too. He just takes them away from us. Solomon uses God-given wisdom for all the kingdom. But one thing he didn't use his wisdom for was his personal life. He missed that. So first, we need to admit a need. Second, we need to pray for the right thing. Three, we need to use what's given to us. And four, we need to continue to depend upon God for what he gives. I think this is almost the most important key that there is. God does not give us one dose of wisdom that's going to last our lifetime. He doesn't like give us a shot. You know, some of us are over 65, you know, they want to give you that pneumonia shot. You get one and zap, you're good for the rest of your life. You know, or kids that give you these shots and you're good for the rest of your life. And so if I was in the military, they gave a bunch of shots and said, you're good. We have no idea what they gave us, but you're good. Good to go. We have to daily depend upon God for his wisdom. We have to daily look at God to say, look, I have needs in my life. I need help, Lord. These are areas I need some help in, Lord. Help me with this. It's a daily thing. And we forget that sometimes. There must be a daily appropriation of God's power to be used for his glory. And that's another key. The daily depends on God is key. But, you know, that's hard for us. Things start going good. What do we do? What's the first thing we back off of? A little bit. Reading God's word. Praying. We start becoming self-dependent again. That's old nature. Hey, you can take care of yourself. Look how everything's going. Okay, you got this neat job, and you got all your bills paid, and all this. Everything's working just fine for you. And we stop remembering that our dependence is always and should always be there upon God. And that's what we forget. The book of 1 Kings goes on chapter after chapter of telling the wisdom and honor given to Solomon of the tremendous wealth and all the tremendous wealth and all the power that came with his kingdom. Talks all about that for chapters until we get to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Now, of course, King Solomon loved many strange women. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zenonians, and the Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn your heart away or after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Must have had a birthday party every day for that group. And it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father. And then jump over to verse 9. It says, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Therefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Solomon made two great mistakes that brought tragedy upon him and to his kingdom. Same thing applied to us. First, he did not use the wisdom of God for his own personal life. And two, he quit depending upon God. He asked for wisdom. God gave him all the wisdom, but he didn't use it in his personal life. And he quit depending upon God. Both of these are critical in our lives. You know, it's applying God's words to our lives and having that daily dependence upon God that we need so desperately in our lives of being having that right relationship with God. It's not just admitting to a need and just praying for the right things and knowing what God's will is for our lives so that we're praying in the right way, but also, you know, using what God's given us, but also that dependence upon God has to be there daily in our lives. To get what we're not only to see our prayers answered, but for God to probably and maybe, and according to scriptures, look like he'd take care of a lot of other things with us at the same time. Remember what it was like when you first got saved? You know, we always went to him for our needs. We talked with him a lot. We had kind of like a childlike faith. Well, the Bible says this, and we just believed it. We had that daily dependence upon him. We had a simple faith and joy in serving God. Somewhere along the line, we kind of got back to depending upon ourselves. We got back away from looking to God, where all things come from, and looking for Him for the guidance and for the wisdom and to handle our everyday affairs. We basically got away from praying. We look out there and think about it, one of the things that we see and talking to other pastors and around this country, I was on the phone with Jason, I can never pronounce his last name, Emmanuel Baptist Church up in Michigan. And again, we're not praying like we ought to. We just think we can do a lot of things ourselves. We look for answers in the world instead of looking for answers from God. We don't put our trust and faith in Him. God says He'll take care of us and meet our needs. But yet, when we're impatient, because we think the timing to meet those needs is tomorrow, and God says, no, maybe next year, and then we find ways to take care of that ourselves instead of waiting upon God. But it's coming back to this faith and this trust in God and having our dependence upon Him will get our prayers answered. And we'll not only get our prayers answered, probably get other things taken care of in our lives too. And we'll be much more successful in our lives. So we need to admit our needs, pray for the right thing, use what's given to us, and continue to depend upon God in our lives. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for this day that You've given us here. Thank You now, Father, for having this time together this evening, fellowship and time for Bible study, time for prayer over our prayer list. Thank You for that. Father, we thank You for having maybe even some more fellowship as we send Lauren off, and pastor's daughter, and Father, that You'd bless that and bless us as we go our way. And many of us have to work among lost people this rest of this week. Father, give us the grace, give us the strength, give us the wisdom to be able to do that. Father, help us to be good testimonies. Help us to be not only good testimonies, but help us to find those places and those times that we might be able to help someone out, be an encouragement to them, and maybe give them the gospel. Father, just thank You for this time. Be with Pastor. Give him a good week, the rest of this week, as he gets ready for Sunday. And Father, just bless him. Give him the power of the Holy Spirit upon his life as he prepares. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.